Did you know that September 28 was the International Right to Know Day? And it seems for once, Australia has something to celebrate with the much welcomed passing of the Amendments to Freedom of Information, or FOI legislation, under the Rudd government. And while for most the Right to Know Day went past without ceremony, the 2010 Right to Know Conference, held in Brisbane, focusing this year on the accessibility of public language. Peter Timmons is an Australian lawyer who works within the University of Sydney and consultant working on issues surrounding freedom of information. This report aims to give you the right to know about your right to know.
One of the hopes might be that we see this sort of thing much more widespread around the country in years to come. This is the second time I think the Queensland Information Commission has had such an event and found it a very interesting program of speakers. What it brought to everyone's attention, the changing world in which we live means that talking about FOI in the sort of old sense of filling in a form, sending it off, waiting for 20 or 30 days till the government came back to tell you what you might be able to get if you paid them more money, that really is being overtaken now by other developments that we associate with the information age.
Timmons cites the mainstream presence of Freedom of Information editors in recent years as significant to the changes that have now occurred.
Journalists have been using FOI much more frequently than was the case perhaps for the first 10 or 15 years of the existence of these acts around the country. We had a number of things happen, I think. People who had the title of FOI editor, a subsequent development was that we have seen over the last 2 years a wave of reforms around the country that really have been significant improvements in our right to information laws. And I think the combination of these two things means that we're seeing a lot more in the media these days about freedom of information and associated issues.
Rick Snell is a senior lecturer at the University of Tasmania, who specialises in both the teaching and the advocacy of amendments to the freedom of information laws.
It's a very welcome development, and I think it's starting to have an impact even before the legislation actually becomes operational, in that some of the departments and some of the ministers are starting to proactively release information because there's a political cost now in withholding it, which kind of goes against the intentions and objectives of the new legislation.
Queensland has in fact been paramount in its dealings with the access of information, which was described as enacting some of the best provisions available worldwide.
So all credit to Anna Bligh, who on her first day in office commissioned an independent review. This was perhaps a way of demonstrating that her administration was going to be somewhat different from the administration that she replaced. I suppose the Beattie government had something of a reputation for secrecy.
Some of the more significant amendments that passed through in March include the introduction of an information commission, as well as establishing a public interest test.
It's to put up the idea that you have to really come up with a really good reason to not release information, whereas in the past you could just have to come up with any reason would almost suffice.
In particular, one of the keynote speakers at the conference, Channel 7's Freedom of Information editor, Michael McKinnon, discussed a recent request he made under FOI to the Department of Transport, requesting documents relating to a proposal for a high-speed train. While at first it was argued that the release of this information would not be in the public interest, Federal Transport Minister Anthony Albanese was in favour of promoting transparency within the government and overturned this decision. To Snell, this represents a significant change in what would have once been undisclosed information.
A good example are the red and blue books that Treasury prepare for the incoming government and the opposition. Information which have now become available, which has been resisted to the death in the past. You know, governments and Treasury have resisted to the very last breath trying to release this information because it would confuse people, would mislead public debate, it would upset the normal processes of the Westminster system, etc., etc., etc. Yet now this information has been released, and what do we get? We get a series of actually informed commentary by political and economic analysts that are actually able to interrogate the Treasury's information to a much more sophisticated degree than they were before. And finding themselves often in agreement, or at least understanding where the new government is limited in its options that it has before it.
This has all been crucial to ensuring a more open and transparent government. However, when the spotlight is focused on the world stage, Australia still has a significant way to go.
There are still lots of indications that the excessive secrecy that we've had in this country since governments were first formed still is a feature of the way in which many public servants and some ministers think about sensitive information. Things are better than they used to be. This has been mainstreamed in lots of ways. So I think journalists who are following education or the environment or transport or the economy, I think they all see FOI these days as one of many tools available to them. There are still problems about cost in some instances. There are still problems about delay. There are still problems about over-claiming that certain information is sensitive and therefore can't be released. However, I think things have much improved.
The University of Sydney's Peter Timmins.